مثلك المظلومين الغر الميامين. صلى الله عليك يا مولاي، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا رسول الله. He's the one we need to offer our condolences to. صلى الله عليك وعلى أهل بيتك المظلومين الغر الميامين. صلى الله عليك يا مولاي أمير المؤمنين، صلى الله عليك يا سيدتي ويا مولاتي يا فاطمة يا سيدة نساء العالمين. صلى الله عليك يا مولاي وابن مولاي يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة غريب يا مظلوم كربلاء. روحي وأرواح العالمين لك الفداء، السلام على ابن خاتم الأنبياء، السلام على ابن سيد الأوصياء، السلام على ابن فاطمة الزهراء، السلام على ابن خديجة الكبرى، السلام على ابن سدرة المنتهى، السلام على ابن جنة المأوى، السلام على ابن زمزم والصفا، السلام على المرمل بالدماء. Peace be upon him who was saturated in his blood. Peace be upon him whose tents were violated. Peace be upon the fifth of the people of the cloak. Peace be upon the loneliest of the lonely. Peace be upon the greatest martyr of all martyrs. Peace be upon him who was slain by the individuals of illegitimate birth. Peace be upon the one who was at rest in Karbala. Peace be upon the one for whom the heavenly angels wept. Peace be upon the one whose descendants are pure. Peace be upon the chief of the religion. Peace be upon the places of the divine proofs. Peace be upon the Imams, the masters of mankind. Peace be upon the blood-stained chests. Peace be upon the parched lips. Peace be upon the plucked souls. Peace be upon the snatched spirits. Peace be upon the stripped corpses. These are the words of our 12th Imam Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan al-Mahdi. Peace be upon the pallid bodies. Peace be upon the gushing blood. Peace be upon the dismembered limbs. Peace be upon the heads raised upon lances. Peace be upon the women forcibly exposed. Peace be upon the proof of the Lord of the world. Peace be upon you and upon your pure ancestors. Peace be upon you and upon your martyred sons. Peace be upon you and upon your children who aided you. Peace be upon you and upon the accompanying angels. Peace be upon the slain and the oppressed one. Peace be upon his poisoned brother Imam al-Hasan. Peace be upon Ali, the elder Ali al-Akbar. Peace be upon the suckling infant Ali al-Azhar. Peace be upon the plundered bodies. Peace be upon the family and children who are nearby the place of martyrdom, who were without support among strangers. Peace be upon the mangled corpses left in the desert. Peace be upon those who are left far from their homeland. Peace be upon those who are buried without shrouds. Peace be upon the heads severed from the bodies. Peace be upon the bereaved and the patient one. Peace be upon the oppressed one who was without a helper. Peace be upon the inhabitant of the purified soil. Peace be upon him who the Almighty purified. This is the day, brothers and sisters, O lovers of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, when the sky rained fresh blood. According to our traditions, the sky rained flesh blood on the day of Ashura. Fresh blood, as in the sky also cries for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, but it doesn't cry rain, it cried blood on that day. This is the day when they went and picked up every rock to see nothing but fresh blood underneath. This is the day that Imam al-Ridha says, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْحُسَيْنَ أَقْرَحَ جُفُونَنَا. The day of Hussein made our hearts bleed, وَأَسْبَلَ دُمُوعَنَا, and our tears to be shed, وَأَوْرَثَنَا الْكَرْبَ وَالْبَلَاءَ فِي أَرْضِ كَرْبٍ. On the day of Ashura, this is the account, the summary of what happened on the day of Ashura. On that day, both Ibn Qawlaway and the Mas'udi, two historians, have said that when it was the 10th of Muharram, Imam al-Hussein led the morning prayers for his band, then stood up to deliver a sermon. He praised Allah and glorified Him. Then he said, Allah Almighty has permitted your being killed today, so you should persevere and you should fight. Then he prepared them for the battle in one line. There were 82 horsemen and 2 footmen. He let Zuhair ibn al-Qain be in the right wing and Habib ibn Mudahir on the left. He and his family members remained in the center. He gave his standard to his brother Al-Abbas ibn Ali. Having found the moon of the Hashemites, the best qualified of all the men, with him to carry it, the most safeguarding of the trust, the most kind, the most zealous in calling for his principles, the one who was the best to unite his kinsfolk, the most valiant in protecting them, the most firm in the battle, the most composed and the most courageous. As-salamu alayka ya Aba al-Fadl al-Abbas. Commanding a force of 30,000 strong, Umar ibn Sa'd la'natullahi alayh marched to confront Hussein, peace be upon him, chief of the Kufa quarters at the time. They were Abdullah ibn Zuhair ibn Salim al-Azdi, who headed the Medinites, and other people who headed the army of Ubaydillah ibn Sa'd. Ibn Sa'd put Amr ibn al-Hajjaj al-Zubaydi in charge of the right wing. They came circling around the tents, seeing how the fire was raging in the ditch that Imam al-Hussein had prepared in order to protect his camp. He had dug a ditch and lit a fire in it. When they came and saw the raging fire, Shimr shouted as loud as he could, "O Hussein, have you resorted to the fire soon enough before the day of judgment? Do you hasten to the fires even before the day of judgment?" Imam al-Hussein asked, "Who is the inquirer? Who is saying this? It seems as if he is Shimr ibn Dhul-Jawshan." The answer came in the affirmative, whereupon Imam al-Hussein said to him, "You son of the goat herder, you are more worthy of the fire than I am." Muslim ibn Awsajah was about to shoot him with an arrow, but Imam al-Hussein stopped him. He prohibited him while saying, "I hate to start fighting them. Inni akrahu an abda'ahum biqitar." Even though he could have shot the man and killed him, but Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is firmly standing by his principles. Inni akrahu an abda'ahum biqitar. Having cast a look at the troops that resembled a torrent, Imam al-Hussein raised his hands to supplicate to the Almighty Allah while saying, "Ilahi anta thiqati fi kulli karb wa raja'i fi kulli shiddah." Lord, you are my trust in every adversity. You are my hope in every hardship. You are to me my trust and treasure for whatever afflicts me. How many worries have you removed and dissipated that overburdened my heart, exhausted my plans, betrayed my friends, and elated my enemy, which I complain to you, O God, O Allah. Having placed my hope upon you, you are the originator of every blessing and the ultimate end of every wish. Imam al-Hussein then called for his camel. Having mounted it, he called out loudly enough to be heard, saying, "O people, listen to my speech and do not rush till I admonish you with that which I owe you. I owe you to admonish you, O people of Kufa. And so then I tell you why I have come here. So if you accept my excuse and believe my statement and fare with me with equity, you will be much happier and you will see no reason to expose me to this. But if you do not accept my reason and do not fare with me with equity, then gather your affair and your accomplices and do not feel sorry for what you do, but effect your judgment in my regard, and do not grant me any despair. Surely my Lord is Allah who revealed the book, and He looks after the righteous." When the women heard this statement, they cried and wailed, and their voices grew loud, whereupon he sent them his brother Abbas and his son Ali al-Akbar to ask them to remain quiet and not to cry. Once the ladies were quiet, Hussein praised Allah again and glorified Him. He blessed Muhammad and all angels and prophets. delivering a speech which no orator before or after him was more outspoken than he said, O servants of Allah, fear Allah and be on your guard with regard to this life, which had it remained for anyone at all, the prophets would have been the most worthy of it and the most pleased with it and the most pleased with their fate. But Allah created this life so that it would perish. What is new in it will soon grow old. Its pleasure diminishes and its happiness is fleeting. A man's home is but a mound and one's house is a fort. So get ready for the next, for the best with which you prepare yourselves is piety. Fear Allah so that you may be the winners, O people. Allah, the Most Exalted One, created life and made it a temporary abode, taking its people from one condition to another. Conceited is whoever gets fascinated by it, and miserable is whoever gets infatuated by it, until the end of that sermon. Shimr ibn Dhul-Jawshan then said, he worships Allah by a letter, had he known what he is saying. Habib ibn Mudahir said to him, by Allah, I see you worshipping Allah on 70 letters, and I testify that you are truthful when you say that you do not know what he is saying. Allah has surely sealed your heart. Imam al-Husayn then said, if you doubt what I have said, do you doubt that I am the son of your prophet's daughter? By Allah, there is no son of a prophet from the east of the earth and the west besides myself, be it among you or among others. Woe unto you! Are you seeking revenge on me for killing one of you? Or is it on account of your wealth which I have devoured? Or are you seeking qasas? None of them spoke a word to the Imam. So he called out, O Shabath ibn Rab'i, O Hajr ibn Abjar, O Qais, O this, O that, did you not write to me saying, come for the fruits are ripe, the pastures are green, and you will come to troops ready for your command? They said, we did not do so. The Imam said, Subhanallah, yes, by Allah, you did exactly so. Then he said, O people, if you hate me, let me go away from your sight to a safe place on earth. Qais ibn al-Ash'ath said to him, Qais ibn al-Ash'ath was the son of the man who took part in the murder of the commander of the faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was the brother of the woman who took part in the murder of Imam al-Hasan, and he is here today on the day of Ashura wanting to shed the blood of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. What a cursed family. Qais ibn al-Ash'ath said to the Imam, are you not going first to accept the authority of your cousins, meaning Yazid? They surely will not deal with you except most amicably, and they will not harm you in the least. Imam al-Husayn said to him, are you the brother of your brother? Do you want Banu Hashim to demand that you pay for the blood of someone else besides that of Muslim ibn Aqil? No, by Allah, I shall not give them as the subservient ones give, nor shall I free from them as a slave flees. O servants of Allah, I have sought refuge with Allah, your Lord and mine, against your stoning me, and I seek refuge with my Lord and yours, against any arrogant person who does not believe in the day of reckoning. Imam al-Husayn then alighted from his camel. A number of men, including Abdullah ibn Hawzat al-Tamimi, came charging in the Imam's direction. Is Hussein among you? He shouted. Abdullah, once, twice, and thrice. After the third call, Imam al-Hussein's companion said, Al-Hussein is right here. What do you want to tell him? He said, O Hussein, let me convey to you the good news of your going to hell. Imam al-Hussein said, liar, rather I shall meet a Lord who was forgiving, gracious, obeyed, and he accepts intercession. But who are you? He said, I am the son of Hawza. The rogue man said, whereupon Hussein raised his hand. till the whiteness of his armpits became visible as he supplicated to the Lord, "O Allah, I invoke you to hurl him into the fire." Ibn Hawza became so angry that he instantly charged at the Imam. A small dry rivulet was in the way between them. As the charger leaped over it, the rider fell. One of his feet remained hooked in the stirrup. His other foot, as well as leg and thigh, remained hanging. The horse kept dragging him, causing him to hit the rocks and tree stumps in its way, finally hurling him into the burning fire of the ditch. He died instantly by burning. It was then that Imam al-Hussein prostrated to thank Allah, praising him for swiftly responding to his invocation, raising his voice as he said, "Lord, we are the Ahlul Bayt of your Prophet, his offspring and kinsfolk, so do split the spine of those who oppressed us and usurped what belongs to us. You hear and you are ever near." Muhammad ibn al-Ash'ath sarcastically asked the Imam, "What kinship do you have with Muhammad?" Imam al-Hussein said, "Lord, Muhammad ibn al-Ash'ath says there is no kinship between me and Muhammad. O Allah, show me today how you swiftly humiliate him." Allah did indeed swiftly respond to the Imam's supplication. Muhammad ibn al-Ash'ath came out of the army, alighted from his horse and started defecating. As he was thus engaged, a black scorpion bit him, leaving him polluted with his own feces, killing him just as the villain's private parts were thus exposed. Allah wanted to humiliate this man. Masruq ibn Wa'il said, "I was in the vanguard of the horsemen who came to fight Imam al-Hussein, hoping to cut his head off and win by it favor from Ibn Ziyad. Having seen what happened to Ibn Hawza, I realized there is a sanctity and a special status of Ahlul Bayt with Allah. So I left the people saying, I shall not fight them, and thus be hurled into the fire." Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn came out, one of the commanders of the Imam's army. He came out on a horse with a huge tail, fully armed. He shouted out, "O people of Kufa, be forewarned of a torment from Allah. It is the obligation of each Muslim to admonish his brethren. Till now we are still brethren following the same religion. So long as the sword does not interfere between us, you deserve to be admonished. So once the sword starts doing its thing, none of you shall be protected from such a torment. We will then be one group and you will be another." They taunted him and praised Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. They wouldn't even listen to his words of admonishment and even supplicated for Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Then they said, "We shall not leave this place before killing your friend and all those who accompany him, or we safely send him and them to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad." Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn said, "O servants of Allah, ya ibadallah, the descendants of Fatima are more worthy of being loved and supported than the son of Sumayyah. If you do not support them, I seek refuge with Allah against you killing them. Save this man from Yazid, for by my life Yazid will be satisfied with your obedience to him, even if you do not kill Hussein." Shimr shot him with an arrow. He shot him with an arrow, saying, "Shut your mouth. May Allah forever silence your voice. You have bored us with you talking too much." Zuhayr said, You son of the man who urinates on his heels, I was not addressing you, for you are by God an animal, and I do not think that you fully understand even two verses from the Book of Allah. So be prepared to be shamed on the Day of Judgment, and be prepared for a very painful chastisement. Shimr says, "Allah will soon kill you and your friend," referring to Imam al-Hussein. Zuhayr said to him, "Are you scaring me with death? By Allah, to die with him is more pleasing to my heart than having to live forever among you folks." Imam al-Hussein then rode his horse and took a copy of the Holy Qur'an, which he spread over his head, then stood in front of those people and said, O people, the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of my grandfather Muhammad, the Messenger of God, are the arbitrators between you and me. Then he asked them whether the sword, the battle gear, the turban which he was wearing, whether they belonged to the Prophet, and they all testified that they indeed were. Then he asked them about the reason why they were planning to kill him. They said, in obedience to the governor, Ubaydillah ibn Ziyad. He, peace be upon him, then addressed them in these words. He said, woe unto you, O people, shame and infamy. You sought our help in earnest, so we came to help you in appreciation. Then you unsheathe your swords in violation of your vows, kindling a fire against us, which we ignited against our enemy and yours, until the end of his sermon. Having said so, the Imam continued his speech, by Allah, you shall not linger after this incident except as long as one stays on the back of his horse. The grinding stones shall then spin you and crush you, shaking you as the axis shakes. This is a promise which my father had been promised by my grandfather, Rasulullah. The Imam then said, raised his hands as he supplicated to the Lord. He said, O Allah, keep rain water from them and send upon them years like thereof of Yusuf, and send upon them the slave of Thaqif to make them drink of a most bitter cup, for they lied to us and they betrayed us while you are our God. Upon you do we rely, and to you is our destiny. Allah will not let a single one of them without having sought revenge on him on my behalf. My killer shall be killed. Whoever deals a blow against me shall be dealt likewise. He shall most certainly seek victory for me, for my Ahlul Bayt, and for my supporters. Imam al-Hussein then called upon Umar ibn Sa'd to come forward. Umar ibn Sa'd very much hated to look the Imam in the eyes. The Imam said to him, O Umar, do you really claim that you will kill me so that Yazid will make you the wali of the land of Ray and Jurjan? By Allah, I swear to God, you shall never have such an enjoyment. This is a promise already made, so do whatever you wish, for you will not be pleased after my demise with either this life or with the hereafter. It is as though I can see your head mounted on a stick and the children of Kufa tossing it from one to another, using it as a toy. Umar was outraged. He turned his face away from the Imam. Having heard his speech and his plea for help, then came Al-Hur Al-Hur to Imam Al-Hussein. Al-Hur initially went to Umar ibn Sa'd. He said to him, are you going to fight this man? He said, Na'am wallah, yes by Allah, a fight in the easiest part of which heads will roll down and hands will be cut off. Hur asked him, what is your objection to his offer of departure? Umar said, had it been up to me, I would have accepted it, but your governor refuses. Al-Hur left him and stood by the others. Beside him stood Qarrat ibn Qais, whom he asked, have you watered your horse today? He said, no. Do you then wish to do so? Al-Hur asked him, Al-Hur asked Qarrat, do you wish to water your horse today? Qarrat took that statement to imply that Hur was reluctant to fight Hussein and did not wish to be seen by him defecting, so he walked away from him. Hur kept getting closer and closer to Imam al-Hussein. Al-Muhajir ibn Aus asked him, do you want to charge at him? Al-Hur remained silent. He felt chilled to the bones, so he shivered. Having seen him shiver, Al-Muhajir felt terrified and said to him, had I been asked who is the most daring of all the Kufians, I would have given no name other than yours, So why do I see you look like that? Al-Hur said to him, I am giving my soul the option between choosing paradise or hell. And by God, I do not prefer anything over paradise, even if it means I will be burnt alive. Having said so, he beat his horse in the direction of Hussein, turning his spear upside down, holding his shield the opposite way. He came lowering his head, feeling too shy to look at the Prophet's family, to look at them in the eyes because of having exposed them to such hardship, bringing them to such a place where neither water nor grass could be found. Loudly he spoke these words. He said, O Allah, to you do I surrender. So do accept my repentance, for I have filled the hearts of your women, of the women of the Prophet, and the sons of your Prophet with fear. O father of Aba Abdullah, Ya Hussein, I am repentant, so can my repentance be accepted at all? Aba Abdullah al-Hussein looked at him and said, Na'am, yaghfirullahu lak in tubd. Taballahu alayk. Allah will accept your repentance. Umar ibn Sa'd then advanced towards Imam al-Hussein's troops and shot an arrow while saying to his men, testify for me with the governor that I shot the first arrow. Others followed suit. Hardly any of Hussein's men escaped being shot by an arrow. The Imam said to his companions, stand, may Allah be merciful unto you. قُومُوا رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهِ هَذِهِ رُسُلُ الْقَوْمِ إِلَيْكُمْ. These are the messengers of the people to you. It is time for all of us to get up. It is time to meet the imminent death. For these arrows are the messengers of these people. He and his companions charged together and fought for a while. By the time the cloud of dust dissipated, 50 men had been killed in an army of only 73 people. With the first campaign, more than two-thirds had been killed. When Imam al-Hussein saw that a large number of his companions had died, he took hold of his sacred beard and said, Ya Allah, may God's wrath intensify against the Jews for having attributed a son to him. And his wrath intensified against the Christians who made him one of three gods. And his wrath also intensified against the Zoroastrians who worshipped the sun and the moon instead of worshipping him. And his wrath intensified against people who collectively agreed to kill the son of their prophet's daughter. By Allah, I shall never agree with them about anything they want me to do till I meet Allah drenched in my own blood. Then he called out, is there anyone who would help us? Ala hal min nasirin yansuruna li wajhi Allah. ألا هل من ذاب عن حرم رسول الله. The women heard of Abdullah al-Hussein. They all started crying and wailing. The two Ansaris heard Imam al-Hussein pleading for help. They were with the army of Umar ibn Sa'd. They also heard the cries of his children. They were both with the army of Ubaidullah ibn Sa'd, of Umar ibn Sa'd. They suddenly turned against Hussein's enemies around them and kept killing them till they themselves were killed. Abu Thumamah al-Sa'idi looked at the sun then and saw that it was already afternoon. So he said to Hussein, may I be sacrificed for your sake? I can see that these folks have advanced towards you. No, by Allah, I shall not be killed before I die defending you. And I love to return to Allah after having performed the prayers whose time has approached. Hussein raised his head to the heavens and said, "You have remembered the prayers. May Allah count you among those who uphold the prayers and who remember him often. Yes, this is the beginning of its time. Ask them to leave us alone so that we may perform the prayers." Al-Hasin, who had heard the Imam say these words, Al-Hasin was with the army of Umar ibn Sa'd. He commented by saying, "Your prayer will not be accepted. Salatuka la tuqbal ya Hussein." Habib ibn Mudahir heard that what that rogue man had said. So he responded to him by saying, "Waylak, salatuka tuqbal wa salatu ibn bint Rasulillah la tuqbal ya Khammar." Do you claim that prayers are not accepted from the Prophet's family, but yours are accepted, you drunkard? Al-Hasin charged at him. So Habib slapped the face of Al-Hasin's horse, causing it to leap and throw its rider on the ground. Al-Hasin's men had to rush to his rescue and to carry him away to safety. Habib, despite his advanced age, fought them valiantly, killing as many as 62 men. Badr ibn Salim attacked him and dealt a sword blow to him as a man from Tamim hit him with his lance. Habib now fell on the ground. As he attempted to stand up again, Al-Hasin hit him with a sword on his head, causing him to fall again face long. The man from Tamim alighted and severed Habib's head. Habib, being thus killed, shook Imam Hussein, who said, "It is only to Allah that I complain about what has happened to me and to my companions." For a good while, the Imam kept repeating the statement, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Abbas ibn Shabib was next. He was the one who marched towards the battlefield. He was like a roaring lion. No one would want to face him. He challenged them to a duel. No one approached him. So he took off his armor, he took off his clothes, and yet no one would attack him. They said, "Ajuninta ya Abbas, have you gone mad?" He said, "Inna hubb al-Hussein ajannani. The love of Hussein has made me go mad. If this is what it takes for me to be killed and to receive the honor of the paradise and martyrdom, then this I shall do." Then they wouldn't attack him, so they started throwing rocks at him. They threw so many rocks at him until he was weakened, and eventually he was killed. Another man who was killed defending the Imam was a man by the name of John, the slave of Abi Dharr. This man came to the Imam, asked him for permission. The Imam granted him permission, but only after saying, "Why do you wish to be killed in our way? You are an old man. Why don't you just leave us and go?" He said, "By God, I shall never do that. I have been with you all my life, and there is no way for me to abandon you at this moment." So he went and he fought the enemies of God until he fell to the ground. Imam al-Hussein then came, he put his cheek against his, and the man John cried, he said, "Man mithli wa ibn binti Rasulillah wada'un khaddahu ala khaddi." Who is like me when the son of the daughter of Rasulullah has placed his cheek against mine? Then the turn came after the companions. It was now the time for the household of Imam al-Hussein to leave. When the last of the companions was killed, suddenly the Shubban of Bani Hashim, the youths of Bani Hashim, started embracing one another, hugging each other, kissing each other, saying, "Al-Wada, Al-Wada, Al-Wada, Al-Multaqa fil Jannah. We shall meet in paradise, inshallah, cousins."
They bid each other farewell, but the first one to leave was Ali ibn Akbar. He came to his father, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. He asked his permission. Abu Abdullah lowered his head and started crying. Ali ibn Akbar then went to the women's camp to bid his aunt Zainab and his mother Layla farewell. Suddenly the women started crying. They started saying, Irham ghurbatana ba'dak. Have mercy on our strangeness after your departure. Please don't leave. But he did not pay attention to them. They said, we cannot bear your separation. He didn't pay any attention because he could easily see how his enemies were to the end determined to spill his pure blood. He sought his father's permission, then came out riding on a horse belonging to Imam al-Hussein. From the camp of Layla, mother of Ali ibn al-Akbar, and daughter of Maymuna, daughter of Abu Sufyan, a man shouted, O Ali, you have kinship with the commander of the faithful. That you have kinship with the commander of the faithful, Yazid, and we wish to safeguard it. So if you wish, we can grant you security. They were afraid of this man who resembled Ali ibn Abi Talib on the battlefield. So they sought to give him security because they feared his wrath. He said, the kingship I have with the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, is more important to me and is more worthy of being safeguarded. He then recited these Rajaz verses saying, Ana Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali, Nahnu wa baytillah awla bin Nabi, Adribukum bis-sif ahmi an abi, Tallah la yahkumu feen ibn al-Da'i. I am Ali, the son of Husayn, the son of Ali. We by the house's Lord are more worthy of the Nabi. By Allah we shall never be ruled by the Da'i. With the sword shall I defend my family and strike like a young Hashimi in Qarashi. Hussein could not help flooding his eyes with tears and shouted at Umar ibn Sa'd, what is the matter with you? May Allah cut off your lineage. Qata Allahu rahimak kama qata'ta rahimi. May Allah cut off your lineage just as you have cut off mine, and just as you have not respected my kinship to the Messenger of God, and may He send upon you someone to slay you on your own bed. Allahu Akbar. Ali ibn al-Akbar killed a total of 120 knights. Thirst took its toll on him, so he returned to his father to rest and to complain about suffering from thirst. He came back saying, Abba, Abba, هل لي إلى شربة إلى الماء من سبيل. Is there any way I could drink a single drink of water? Abu Abdullah began crying. He wept and said, Wa ghawtha, oh hell, how quickly shall you meet your grandfather who will give you a drink, after which you shall never suffer of thirst. He gave him his tongue to suck, then his ring to put in his mouth. Abu Abdullah said, I have no water. Would you like to take some of my saliva? But there was none. So Imam al-Hussein took off a ring and he gave it to him and said, put this in your mouth, my dear son. They asked Imam al-Sadiq in one narration, let me say this and move on. They ask Imam al-Sadiq, what is the most beautiful thing in life? Imam al-Sadiq says, for you to have a young son that you help and you nourish and he grows up, and for him to reach the age of fruition, to become 18, 19, 20 years old, and for him to walk in front of you, that is the most beautiful thing in life. Then they asked him, Ya Abba Abdullah, what is the most painful thing in life? The Imam said, for a man to see that young, beautiful son of his to die before his two eyes. Ali ibn al-Akbar went back to the battlefield, feeling very happy about the good news that you're about to get killed, oh dear son, and your grandfather Rasulullah will come to you with a cup of water, after which you will never feel any thirst. The Hujjah, who had told him, his father, that he would soon meet his grandfather, the chosen one, he therefore advanced towards them with courage, reminiscent of his grandfather, Aliyun Amir al-Mu'mineen. He met the enemies face to face. The latter could not tell whether it was Aliyun al-Akbar who was chasing the enemy, or whether it was the Wasi Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, roaring like a lion on the battlefield, or whether thunderbolts came emitting in an array from his sword. He kept killing the Kufians till the number of those whom he killed reached fully 200 men. And then Murrat ibn Munqidh al-Abdi, may Allah curse him, he said, I shall bear all the sins of the Arabs should I not succeed in causing his father to lose him for good. He stabbed him with his lance in the back and hit him with his sword on the head, splitting it in half. Ali embraced his horse. The horse carried him to the enemy camp. They attacked him from every angle. He became the target of their swords. فَقَطَعُوا إِرْبًا إِرْبًا. They cut him into pieces. Suddenly he shouted, أَبَا عَلَيْكَ مِنِّي السَّلَامِ. Oh Father, peace be upon you. هَذَا جَدِّي رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَدْ سَقَانِي بِكَأْسِهِ الْأَوْفَى شَرْبَةً لَا أَضْبَهُ بَعْدَهَا أَبَدًا. In other words, he's saying, Father, I know you are worried about me. Don't worry about me anymore. I'm with Rasulullah. But here's another thing. Father, Rasulullah is here. He's saying to me, tell your father that we are waiting. I have another cup waiting for my dear son Hussein as well. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Imam al-Hussein came to him. He placed his cheek on his, and then he called out, Bunay, على الدنيا بعدك العفا. There is no good in this life after you. How dare they defy the most merciful one, and how dare they violate the sanctity of his messenger? Hard it is upon your grandfather and father that they cannot respond to you when you call upon them, and that they cannot help you when you ask them for their help. He then took a handful of his pure blood and threw it towards the heavens. The narration says, the Imam says, not a single drop of it came back to the earth. Not a single drop fell. This explains the recitation in the ziyarah. May my father and mother be your sacrifice. How you were slaughtered without having committed a crime. May my father and mother be your sacrifice. How your blood ascended to the one loved by Allah. May my father and mother be sacrificed for you. He mourns you with a burning heart, raising your blood to the depth of the heavens. Not a drop thereof returns, nor one sigh of your father finds any ease. He ordered his servants to carry him to the tent. Imam al-Hussein tried to carry him first, but he had no longer any strength to do so. Ya al-Khayyam ja'akum 'alayya. شوفوا على الصدر جنازته يا محمولة طلعان يا ولي من الخدر عماته. As they were taking him back to the camp, suddenly the women came out wailing and lamenting and crying, شافوا علي يا جار حسراته ومن الطبر ما تنحصج راحاته وزينب تصب دموعها مهمولة. The narration states that when Imam al-Hussein lost his son Ali ibn al-Akbar, he went to a direction other than his. So Zukayna said, "Oh father, where are you going?" He said, "Turbunayya la talumini, don't blame me, daughter. Faqad asbahtu wallah la absiru tariqi, I can't see my way anymore." Wa bada al-Husayn yabki bukaan 'aliya. The Imam began crying out loud. No one had heard the Imam cry like that before. So Zainab came out of the tent, crying, lamenting, beating her head, calling out, Wa Aliya, Ya Ibn Akha. So Imam al-Hussein looked at her. Historians say, and the narrations tell us, that Zainab simply wanted to make a diversion. She wanted to distract the Imam, because had she not done that, Imam al-Hussein would have died out of grief for his son Ali ibn al-Akha. The honorable ladies who grew up in the home of revelation, they kept looking at him as he was carried away, with blood covering him with its red mantle of dignity. Stabs and wounds had spared no place in his body. They welcomed him with very heavy hearts, their hair uncovered, their wailing deafening the world. Before them stood Lady Zainab alayhi salam, the daughter of Fatima, crying and wailing. She threw herself on the corpse of her nephew, hugging it, grief-stricken, for she was the guardian of her home and its pillars. After Ali ibn al-Akbar came Abdullah ibn Muslim ibn Aqil. Allahu Akbar. He charged at the enemy forces. He killed a number of the enemy troops in three of his assaults. Then Yazid ibn al-Ruqad shot him with an arrow which he unsuccessfully tried to avoid with his hand, but it pierced his hand and found its way to his forehead, stitching it. He could not remove it from his forehead. He therefore said, Ya Allah, they have found us few in number, so they humiliated us. Kill them, O Lord, as they have killed us. As he was thus engaged, a man threw a spear at him which pierced his heart, killing him instantly. Yazid ibn al-Ruqad came to him, took out the arrow from his forehead, as its tip remained inside his forehead. When Abdullah ibn Muslim was killed, the family of Abu Talib undertook a collective campaign. Hussein called out to them, "Be patient, O cousins. By Allah, after today you shall not meet any hardship at all." The assailants were comprised of Awn ibn Abdullah, son of Ja'far, son of Zainab, and his brother, son of Khawsa. Abdurrahman ibn Aqil, his brother Ja'far, son of Aqil, and Muhammad, son of Muslim ibn Aqil. As many as 18 wounds were received by Al-Hasan al-Thani, son of Imam al-Hasan, grandson of the Prophet, and his right hand was cut off. Abu Bakr, son of the commander of the faithful, whose first name was Muhammad, he then came out and was killed. Abdullah ibn Aqil now came out.
He kept fighting till his wounds overwhelmed him, so he fell. Uthman ibn Khalid al-Tamimi took advantage of the situation, walked to him and killed him. Now it was turn for Qasim ibn al-Hasan, this young boy, this young orphan of Imam al-Hasan. Abu Bakr, the son of Imam al-Hasan, son of the commander of the faithful, came out. His first name was Abdullah al-Akbar, and his mother was Ummu Walad named Ramla. He fought till he was killed. After the latter, his full-blooded brother Al-Qasim came out. He was a young boy who had not yet come of age. When Hussein looked at him, he hugged him and wept. Then he permitted him to fight only after he kissed his uncle's hands and feet, pleading with him, begging him. The Imam gave him permission, so he came out with a face looking like a full moon, bearing a sword and wearing a shirt and a mantle, no armor whatsoever. On his feet he wore sandals. He had to fight on foot. The sandal string on his foot was cut off. So he, the son of the great prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he hated to walk barefooted on the battlefield. He therefore stopped for a moment to tie his sandal, regarding those enemies as no more valuable than his own sandal, paying no heed to their multitude, feeling unconcerned about their thousands. They started saying, "Who is this young boy? Is he another son of Hussein? We thought we killed all of his children. Who is this young boy?" So he introduced himself by saying, "In tunkiruni fa ana najnul Hasan wa ibnu an-nabiy al-mustafa wal-mu'taman." As he was thus engaged with them, Amr ibn Sa'd attacked him. Hamid ibn Muslim asked him, "What do you want to do with this young boy? Are you not satisfied to see all the crowd that surround him?" He said, "By Allah, I shall attack him." He hit Al-Qasim with his sword. The young boy fell face long, crying out to his uncle. He said, "Aghithni ya amma, oh uncle, come and save me, come and help me." Hussein came out to his help like an angry lion and struck his killer. He tried to avoid it with his arm, so the Imam cut it off from the elbow, causing him to let out a very loud scream, which was heard by the entire army. The cavalry of Ibn Sa'd charged in order to rescue him. Amr met them face to face, causing their horses to trample upon him and to eventually kill him. After some time, the cloud of dust dissipated, so Hussein was now seen standing at the head of the young boy while he was examining his feet. Hussein said, "Bu'dan li qawmin qataluk, ya'uzzu ala ammika wallah." "Oh my nephew, it is dear upon the heart of your uncle." "And tunadeh fala ya yujibuk, aw yujibuka fala yughithuk, aw yughithuka fala yughni ank." He then carried him away back to the camp. Al-Qasim, when it was on Hussein's chest, his legs were dragging on the ground. In other words, Hussein's back was bent by that time. Some people say that towards the end of his life, before Imam al-Hussein went to the battle to fight his last campaign, his beard had turned gray within a matter of hours. His back had been bent. He would carry Al-Qasim on his chest while his feet were dragging on the ground. Hussein then put the corpse beside that of Ali ibn al-Akbar and those of his family who'd been killed. Then he raised his eyes to the heavens and said to Allah, "Ya Allah, Allahumma ahsihim adada." "Oh Allah, count their numbers and do not leave any of them alone." and do not forgive a single one of them. Be patient, O cousin, صبراً يا بني عمومتي. O my Ahlul Bayt, you shall never meet any hardships after today at all. And then Abbas came after he had seen how much he had seen such a large number of his family members were being killed. He said to his brothers Abdullah, Uthman, Ja'far, he said to them, advance, O brothers, so that I may see you supporting the cause of Allah and His Messenger. Then he turned to Allah. He turned to Abdullah, who was their oldest. He said to him, advance, O brother, so that I may see you receiving the honor of martyrdom. They fought in front of Abu al-Fadl till they were each killed. And then Abbas could no longer bear life after having seen how his companions and the members of his family killed, and how the Hujja of his time was suffering from the great number of the enemies surrounding him. After his supply route had been cut off, he came to his brother Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. He said to him, Ya Sayyidi, Ya Aba Abdullah, لقد ضاق صدري من هؤلاء القوم. Please give me permission to go and fight, for I can no longer bear to live. Especially since the foes always dreaded having to fight him and feared his advance, and how the ladies felt a sense of security upon seeing the standard raised high, the sacred soul. Imam al-Hussein did not accept to part with him. The Imam said to him, O brother, أنت حامل لوائي, you are the one who holds my standard. Al-Abbas said, I am fed up with these hypocrites and I want to seek revenge against them. Hussein ordered him to bring water for the children. He said to him, إن كان ولا بد, if you really have to go, then don't go with the intention of fighting them. Go to bring and تأتي إلى هؤلاء الأطفال شربة من الماء. Bring some water back to these children. So Abbas went to those people and admonished them. He warned them of the wrath of the Omnipotent. And when they did not listen to him, he charged against them. He fought them. He removed 4,000 horsemen who had surrounded the river so that they would not allow Imam al-Hussein to reach the water. He removed all of them and he entered the water. As soon as he entered, spontaneously, he put his hand in the river, in the cool waters of the Euphrates. He raised his hands to his mouth in order to drink. Then he suddenly called out, Ya nafs min ba'd al-Hussein huni. وبعده ما كنت أو تكوني. O self, O ego, how could you drink water when your brother Hussein is still thirsty? فرمى الماء على الماء. He threw the water on the water. Then he rode his horse and took the water bag. As many as 4,000 archers soon surrounded him. They shot him with their arrows, yet their large number did not impede his attempt. He kept chasing those throngs alone as his standards kept fluttering above. Those people could not tell whether that was Abbas slaughtering their heroes or Ali ibn Abi Talib himself on the battlefield. Their men could not maintain their grounds before him, and he succeeded in getting into the Euphrates, getting the water, and heading back towards the tent. On the way back to the camp, a man attacked Abbas. He struck him with his sword, severing his right hand. He severed his right hand.
Abbas couldn't care less about that. He had one mission, and that was to bring the water back to the tents. So he kept marching, he kept going. Another wicked man came. He hit him with his sword and severed his left hand. Abbas no longer had hands to fight with. He no longer had hands to protect himself. But he was still determined to take the water back to the children who were calling out, Al-Abbas, Al-Abbas. أَوَتَشْتَكِ الْعَطَشَ الْفَوَاطِمُ عِنْدَهُ. Abbas could never stand to hear the children cry out Al-Atash while not doing anything about it. So his mission was to bring the water back even though he had lost his two hands. So he kept going. Suddenly they started throwing arrows at him. فَسَلْمُنْ أَصَابَ الْقَرْبَ. One arrow pierced through the canteen. Water started spilling from it. Abbas couldn't go back to the water. He couldn't go back to the children either. So he stood still. It was as if time had come to a halt. وَسَهْمَنْ أَصَابَ صَدْرَ. And an arrow hit him in the chest. وَسَهْمَنْ أَصَابَ عَيْنَ. And an arrow hit him in the eye. Abbas tried to get the arrow out of his eye, but he didn't have hands to do that. So he started shaking his head. The helmet fell from his head. فَجَاهُ رَجُلٌ مِنْ خَلْفِهِ وَضَرَبَهُ بِالْعَمُودِ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ. He hit him with the iron rod on his head. فَسَقَطَ عَنْ ظَهْرِ جَوَادِهِ. He fell onto his face. He had no hands to shield himself, calling out, أَخَ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَخَا يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. For the first time, Abu al-Fadl Abbas has addressed his brother as, oh brother, instead of saying, oh master, Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein ran towards him. He charged against the enemies of Allah. They fled from him. They ran like sheep being attacked by a wolf. So the Imam called out, إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ تَفِرُّونَ وَقَدْ قَتَلْتُ بَخِي. إلى أين تفرون وقد قتلتم عبدي. إلى أين تفرون وقد كسرتم ظهري. Where do you flee when you have just killed my brother? Where do you flee when you have just broken my back? Abu Abdullah al-Hussein reached his brother. He sat next to him. Abbas said to his brother Abu Abdullah, he said to him, I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, I ask you in the name of whatever deity you worship to spare my life until I get to say goodbye to my brother Abi Abdullah. Abu Abdullah sat down and said, Akhi Abbas, ana akhuk al-Hussein. I am your brother Abbas. رحم الله من نادى وعباسا. Call out the name of Abbas to offer consolation to Imam al-Hussein. وعباسا. Imam al-Hussein left him where he had fallen and did not move him anywhere. Due to a hidden reason. What was that reason? I don't know. Was it so that Abbas would have his own separate mausoleum? Was it so that everyone in the entire history would have to find out how special Abbas was? Or was it because he couldn't take him back? Because Sakina was waiting for water, not for the dead corpse of her uncle Abbas. Because Zainab couldn't bear to look at her brother, the son of her father Abbas, looking with an arrow penetrating his eyes. Because because the women couldn't stand to see him. We don't know. He was then buried where he had fallen, separately from the other martyrs, so that he would have a mausoleum of his own. Imam al-Hussein went back to the camp, feeling extremely depressed and tearful. أجرك الله يا أبا عبد الله. He kept wiping his tears with his cuffs as men raced with one another to assault his camp. He called out, "Is there anyone who would help us?" ألا هل من ناصر ينصرنا لوجه الله. Abbas was no longer there to answer his master's call. Aliul Akbar was no longer there to help Abi Abdullah. Is there anyone who would grant us security? Is there anyone who seeks justice so he supports us? Is there anyone who fears the fire so he defends us? Sukaina, his daughter, came to him and asked him about her uncle Abbas. Abba, yeah? Where is my uncle Abbas? What has happened? Why are you making this call? He told her of his being killed. Ya galal. Abbas is gone, O Zaynab. Zaynab heard him revealing this sad news. She called out, "O brother, wa bayatana ba'dak. Oh, our loss after you." Women wept, and Hussein wept too, and said, "Oh, our loss after you." When Abbas was killed, Hussein turned to see none to help him against his foes. He looked and saw how his family members and companions lied slaughtered on the ground. He heard the wailing of the orphans and the cries of the children. As loud as he could, he called out, "Ala hal min nasirin yansuruna." This was the last time, one of the last times, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein cried for help. Is there anyone who defends the sanctity of the Messenger of God? Is there anyone who believes in the unity of Allah? Is there anyone who fears Allah in our regard? Is there anyone who comes to our rescue and who wishes by doing so to please Allah? The women's voices now grew even louder as they cried. Imam Sajjad suddenly stood up. He couldn't hear his father say those words and not doing anything. He was leaning on a cane and dragging a sword. He was sick and could hardly move. But Hussein called on his sister, Umm Kulthum. He said, "Confine him so that he would not run out of, so that the world would not run out of the progeny of Muhammad." Hussein now ordered his dependents to be silent, and he bade them farewell. He was wearing a dark jubba and a florid turban with two tresses let loose on the sides, and wrapped himself with the same burda which the Messenger of Allah used to wear, and was carrying his grandfather's sword. He asked for a thawb, for a garment, which nobody wanted and which he put underneath his clothes so that nobody would be interested in it, and hence in removing it from his body, since he knew that he was going to be killed soon. They brought him small trousers, but he was not interested in them, since they were the outfits of ignominy. He then took a worn out garment, which he ripped, placing its pieces underneath his clothes. Then he asked for wrapping trousers, which he also tore, then put on so that nobody would take them away from his corpse. He then ordered his infant son, Abdullah al-Radi', to be brought to him, so that he would say goodbye to him. Zainab brought him his baby son, Abdullah. He placed him in his lap and kept kissing him and repeating this statement, بَعْدًا لِقَوْمٍ خَصْمُهُمْ جَدُّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Away with those people when your grandfather, the chosen one, is their opponent.
Then he brought him to those folks and asked for some water for him. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein asked for water on numerous occasions on the day of Ashura, when Umar ibn Sa'd and Shimr and the other enemies of Allah were taking showers in the river. The children of Imam al-Hussein were crying out, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. On one occasion, Imam al-Hussein, he went up to them and he said, Wallah ibn Afshan, I swear to God I'm thirsty. This river was the dowry of my mother Fatima al-Zahra. You are drinking from it. Dogs and pigs drink from it. Why don't you give me some water? But in this case, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein didn't want the water for himself because he saw his young infant who was about to die out of starvation. Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. How could Imam al-Hussein, a father, look into the eyes of his young infant who's about to die and not be able to do anything about it? He asked for some water for him. Harmalat ibn Kahil, this cursed man. Imam Zain al-Abidin says in one narration, a man came to him from the city of Kufa. Imam Zain al-Abidin asked him, he said, how did you leave Harmala in the city of Kufa? He said, why? Why do you ask me about Harmala and no one else? There were so many other people who took part in the massacre of the day of Ashura. Why Harmala in particular? Imam Zain al-Abidin said, because Harmala put our hearts on fire. Because Harmala gave us so much grief that no one else did. Harmala ibn Kahil al-Asadi shot the infant with a three-pronged arrow. It slaughtered him from the jugular vein to the jugular vein. How can the neck of a young 6-month-old bear a three-pronged arrow, which is used to kill animals, camels, and grown-ups? In this day and age, all Muslims, let me say something. In this day and age, when you go to the hospital, when you take your children to the hospital, they even pick specialized needles for them. They don't use the same needle that they use for adults on children, because they know that children are delicate creatures. And yet this vicious man used a three-pronged arrow that they use in hunting animals to kill the son of Imam al-Hussein. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein took the blood from his neck and then he called out to God, هَوَّنَ مَا نَزَلَ بِي أَنَّهُ بِعَيْنِ اللَّهِ. What makes this affliction easy upon? Is this affliction easy? I don't know. Imam al-Hussein says, what makes it easy is that God is watching. God is my witness. Imam al-Hussein smears and stains his own face with the blood of his infant child. He says, I will meet my grandfather and I will meet my Lord on the day of judgment, stained with the blood of my 6-month-old infant, so that he hears a cry from the sky, دعه يا حسين فإن له مرضعة في الجنة. Let him go, Hussein, let him go, it's okay. He has a nurse waiting for him in paradise. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq says, not a drop of that blood fell from the sky. In this regard, the Hujjah says, peace be unto Abdullah, the slaughtered infant. Imam al-Zaman says, he says, peace be unto Abdullah, the slaughtered infant, the one shot with an arrow, the one whose blood shed in a most cruel manner, and whose blood ascended to the heavens, the one slaughtered with an arrow in his father's lap. The curse of Allah be upon the person who shot him, Harmala ibn Kahil al-Asadi, and upon his kinsfolk. Imam al-Hussein then said, هَوَّنَ مَا نَزَلَ بِي أنه بعين الله. It is not less in your esteem, O God, than the life of a son. Lord, if you have kept victory away from us, then let it be so for something even better, and seek revenge on our behalf from the oppressors, and let what has happened to us in this life be a treasure for us in the hereafter. Then the Imam threw some of that blood towards the sky and said, Ilahi, in kana hadha yurdhik, fakhudh hatta tarda. O God, if this pleases you, then take until you are pleased with ayahs. And then Hussein advanced towards the enemy, raising his sword, losing all hope of survival, challenging them to a duel. He killed all those who accepted his challenge. Then he charged on the army's east flank as he recited these verses, Al-Qatlu awla min rukub al-ari, wal-aru awla min dukhul al-nari. Death is better than accepting humility, while humility is better than the fires of hell. Then he called out, Ana al-Husayn ibn Ali, alayt alla amthani, ahmi iyalat abi, abqa ala deen al-Nabi. One man said, never have I seen someone surrounded by a huge number of enemies, and whose son is slaughtered, and so are his family and companions, and who still maintained his composure, remained relentless and stayed courageous more than Hussein. Men kept fleeing in front of him whenever he charged at them. Umar ibn Sa'd shouted to everyone, saying, Hada ibn al-Anza'i al-Batin, Hada ibn Qattal al-Arab. He was trying to get them to fight Imam al-Hussein. So he said, this is the son of the quarrelsome one, the one with the stomach. This is the son of the killer of the Arabs. In other words, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Attack him from all directions. 4,000 arrows were at once shot at him, and he was forced to alight from his horse. Hussein shouted at them, O followers of Abu Sufyan, إِن لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ دِينَ فَكُونُوا وَكُنْتُمْ لَا تَخَافُونَ الْحِسَابِ فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. If you have no religion at all, and yet you fear the returning to your Maker, then at least you should remain free in your life, and you should go back to your lineage if you are Arabs as you claim. Shimr addressed him, saying, What are you, son of Fatima? Saying, Ma taqulu ya ibn Fatima? The Imam said, I am the one who is fighting you, and women are not held accountable, so keep your rogues away from them, and stop them from harming my women as long as I am alive. Shimr said, we shall grant you that. He became the target of the fighters, and the fighting intensified. His thirst intensified too. From the direction of the Euphrates, he attacked Amr ibn al-Hajjaj, who was surrounded by 4,000 men. He cleared them from the water, and he forced his horse into the water. His horse was about to drink, when suddenly Abu Abdullah al-Hussein said to his horse, Anta afshan wa ana afshan. You are thirsty and so am I. You go ahead and drink. Suddenly the horse turned his face away. Imam al-Hussein, he then tried to drink from the water. He said, you are thirsty and so am I, yet I shall not drink before you. The horse raised his head as if he understood what the Imam had said to him. When Imam stretched his hand to drink, a man asked him, he said to him, do you enjoy the water while the sanctity of your women has been violated? أَتَشْرَبُ الْمَاءَ وَقَدْ هُتِكَتْ حَرَمُكَ. He therefore spilled the water and did not drink, then went in the direction of the tent. Imam al-Hussein, this is his last and final farewell with the women and the children. I know you're all tired. I know this is not a very comfortable place, but the children of Imam al-Hussein weren't so comfortable on the day of Ashura. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein comes back to them. He bade his family farewell for the second time. He ordered them to be patient. He then said to them, استعدوا للبلاء. Prepare for affliction. The good days are over. Hussein will no longer be with you. Abbas is no longer here to take care of you. He put on the outer mantles as he said, get ready for the affliction. And be advised that Allah Almighty shall protect and safeguard you, and He shall save you from the evil of the enemies and make the ultimate end of your affair good. He shall torment your enemy with various types of torture. The ladies who were raised in the lap of prophethood saw the pillar of their sanctity, their security, the defender of their prestige, the symbol of their honor, telling them of a departure from which he shall never return. So they did not know who would after him protect them from the oppression of the foes. Imam al-Hussein was about to go. Suddenly the women and the children, they all surrounded him. One woman kissing his hands, one girl kissing his feet. Suddenly Ruqayya, the 4-year-old daughter of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, she came rushing towards her father, knowing that this is the final farewell. She came to her father, Abu Abdullah, and she started kissing his feet. Imam al-Hussein came off the back of his horse. He alighted from the back of his horse. He sat on the side, on the stand right next to her. He took her, he put her in his lap, and he started wiping his hand over her head, like just like an orphan, just like the way the Imam treated the orphans. The Imam then tried to go. Suddenly, a little girl from the children of Aqil, listen to this, she came to Imam al-Hussein. She didn't know what was going on. She said to him, Amma, ya Aba Abdullah, my father and my uncles, they all promised me to bring back some water. They left, but they never came back. I don't know what happened to them. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein cried. He said, I am going to see them right now. I will be telling them what is going on. I will be telling them how thirsty you are. She then didn't understand what he meant. She said to him, Ya uncle, oh, Aba Abdullah, Ya Amma, Anta tadhhab wa ta'awud dhalika yatool. You're going to go and come back. This is going to take too long. Why don't you just take me to them and I will tell them myself. Imam al-Hussein, listen. Imam al-Ya Imam al-Zaman, Ya Hujjat ibn al-Hassan. How else could the Imam speak to this little girl? Imam al-Hussein said to her, Bunayya, oh daughter, if I take you, who's going to bring you back to the camp? Who's going to bring you back to your mother? Abu Abdullah al-Hussein noticed that he had said goodbye to everyone except for one little girl, his daughter Sukaina. He asked, where is Sukaina? They told him, she's in the tent. She can't say goodbye. She doesn't like to say goodbye to you. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein said, it's okay, I'll go to her. He came back. He came off the back of his horse. He went towards the tent. He came inside. She was sitting down crying. Silently. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein said, Bunayya, why don't you want to come and say goodbye? She looked at her father and said, Abba, a'adna ila harami jaddina Rasulullah. Father, I want you to do something for me. Why don't you just take us all back to the city of Medina? Abu Abdullah said, no, that cannot happen. It was then that Umar ibn Sa'd said to his men, woe unto you, attack him since he is distracted and surrounded by his women. By Allah, should he direct his full attention to you, your right wing will not be separated from the left. They therefore assailed him with their arrows till the arrows reached his camp, and some of them pierced through the clothes of some of the women of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, causing them to be stunned and frightened. Imagine little girls, little boys, children, women, suddenly seeing arrows being fired at them. How stunned they would be. Allahu Akbar.
They screamed and entered the tent as they looked at Hussein to see what he would do. Imam al-Hussein attacked the enemy like an angry lion. Anyone who could catch up with him, he stabbed with his sword and killed as he was receiving the arrows from all directions, bracing them with his chest at his neck, protecting, shielding himself with his own chest. He went back to his quarters, profusely repeating the statement, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Repeat this with Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. "Inna lillah." He went back to his quarters saying, "Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un." In such a condition, he asked for some water. Shimr said to him, "You shall not have a taste of it till you reach the fires of hell." A man shouted at him saying, "Oh Hussein, do you not see how the Euphrates water is as clear as the snake's bellies? You shall not taste of it till you die of thirst." Hussein said, "Oh Allah, do cause him to die of thirst." That particular man, to be sure, kept asking for water ever since, and water was always brought to him. Yet it would come out of his mouth and never goes down, and he kept doing so till he died of thirst. Abul Hutuf al-Jafi, oh Muslims, oh lovers of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, stop looking at me. I want you to lower your heads. I want you to take yourselves to the land of Karbala. Try to imagine the picture on that day. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is on the back of his horse. Abu al-Hutuf al-Jafi shot Hussein with an arrow in his forehead. He pulled it out, causing blood to run on his face. Imam al-Hussein called out, "Oh Allah, you see in what condition I am? Oh Allah, decrease their numbers. Oh Allah, kill them and leave none of them on the face of the earth." Al-Hassin, who was one of the enemy soldiers, said to the Imam, "How will you seek revenge on our behalf on you, O son of Fatima?" The Imam answered, "He will cause you all to kill one another and thus get your blood spilled. Then shall he pour his torment upon you in the most painful manner." Having become too feeble to fight, فَوَقَفَ لِيَسْتَرِيحَ, Imam al-Hussein stood still to rest. Suddenly a wicked man threw a rock at him. The rock hit him in the forehead. It started bleeding. The Imam couldn't see his way anymore, so he lifted his shirt to wipe the blood off his face. As he was pulling the shirt up, a three-pronged arrow was thrown. It went straight through his chest, into his heart. It came from the back. Imam al-Hussein tried to pull the arrow out of his back. He grabbed it. He pulled it as hard as he could. When he pulled it, blood started gushing out of his back. Imam al-Hussein was too weak. He fell from the back of his horse. He didn't get off the horse. He fell. فسقط الحسين عن ظهر جواده. As soon as he fell, Umar ibn Sa'd was watching. Zainab is there. Imagine what Zainab has to go through. Zainab is on the hilltop. She's looking at Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. She started crying out, "Wa Abata, wa Rasulallah, wa Aliyah, oh Father, where are you? Oh Mother Fatima, can you bear to see your son like that?" Imam al-Hussein was on the ground. Suddenly Abdullah ibn al-Hassan, this young child of Imam al-Hassan, the orphan, he was 9 years old. Zainab was holding his hands. As soon as he looked at his uncle like that, he ran towards his uncle. A man was about to attack the Imam. So he came, he stood in front of him, and he said, "Ataqtulu ammi ibn al-khabitha? You're trying to kill my uncle, O son of the wicked woman. How dare you do that?" The man lifted his sword, and he struck him on the arm. arm on the elbow. حتى أطنها من المرفة وبقيت متعلقة. His arm was dangling by the skin. He looked at his uncle and said, Uncle, قطعوا يميني. They just severed my arm, يا أبا عبد الله. Imam al-Hussein held him tight. He couldn't defend the Imam, but he defended him with his head. Imam al-Hussein held him tight. Then another man came. He struck the boy with the sword on his head. Harbala ibn Kahil, the cursed man, took out an arrow, and he shot the young boy and killed him in his uncle's lap. Zainab is watching all of this. Allahu Akbar. If I don't say these things on the day of Ashura, I swear to God, these calamities, I never narrate them any other day than on the day of Ashura. You should not hear this unless you shed tears of blood for your master, Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Zainab is watching. Umar ibn Sa'd is watching. Zainab says, there is a Farsi poem. Zainab says, Umi Davido Manbi Davido. I ran and he ran. I ran to save him. He ran to kill him. Umi Kashido Manbi Kashido. I pulled and he pulled. I pulled a sigh of grief. I pulled a scream. But he pulled a dagger. He pulled a knife. Umar ibn Sa'd said to them, attack him from every angle. انزلوا له واريحوه. Put him out of his misery. One man came and he struck the Imam with his sword on his collarbone. Another man came and he stabbed him with a spear on his back. Another one came from a close distance. He threw an arrow that went through right the Imam's mouth. It went through the Imam's mouth. Zainab said, Ya Umar ibn Sa'd, ayuqtalu Abu Abdullah wa anta tanzuru ilayh? Do you bear to see Abu Abdullah getting killed while you watch? He put his face away from her. There were tears filling his beard. May Allah curse him. Then he said, kill him. Shimr ibn al-Jawshan came to your master, O Shia, O Muslim. He came to Abi Abdullah. He sat on his chest. He stabbed him 7 times. Then he put him on his face. وحذر رأسه يا حسين 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 ي